Hello and welcome to another episode of The Messed Up Gardener. My name is Esther Aiken. I'm your host for today and I'm absolutely buzzed to be here. For the last week, we have had exceptional weather. My partner and I even managed to prune the Louisa plum tree. Okay, it's a bit rough and we will need to tidy it up again in winter, but for now it looks pretty good. And considering the upper parts don't normally get fruit on because of the wind absolutely smashing the flowers off during flowering, which is when we typically get the equinox winds, I'm pretty comfortable that we have left enough seasonal wood on there for next year's crop. That and the neighbours were complaining because it was growing over into their property. Conveniently, they had a good crop of plums as well from it this year, but that's beside the point. By the sounds of it, they're getting placing a cabin of some sorts along that side of fence, and fair enough that they've asked us to trim it back. Here in New Zealand, the rules are pretty straightforward when it comes to tree ownership. Basically, anything growing over the fence, your neighbour can cut back to boundary, as in legal boundary, and throw the remnants back over your side of the fence as long as they don't detrimentally harm the tree and kill it. They're not actually breaking any laws. And again, there is nothing wrong with trying to be a good neighbour, but gutted though, I would have liked to have waited at least another couple of weeks before actually tackling it. And saying that, it did give us a chance to play with the chipper. We've got a 4-inch Hansa. Now, it's nowhere near as big as the chippers I used to use when we were doing my arborist work. But this little one, boy, it does actually crank it. It's definitely a little bit bigger than the standard back sort of garden 2-inch that you normally find being used for home gardening chores. Either way, it was nice to have a bit of a play again doing some tree work. I didn't actually realise how much I missed it. In the meantime, we're going to look at weeding out the front garden again. And I've had a whole heap of lavender cuttings that need to be planted out. But because we've had such hot weather, I've been holding off, mostly because it's been so hot again and dry. I figured I might as well just wait till the autumn planting time. Even though technically we're now in autumn, it is still way too hot and everything is still way too dry. So it looks like I'll be watering my cuttings for a little bit longer. But that did get me thinking about the type of plants I have in my garden and that I actually use for a number of purposes. I grew up mostly with my parents. They were pretty green-thumbed and home remedies were a staple. I used to think that everybody grew herbs and everyone knew what lavender was for, or that everybody had mint tea, for example. Little did I know that, no, it wasn't 100% the norm. However, with times changing, more and more people are becoming aware of their natural environment, being able to provide them with a lot more home remedies that can save them a lot of money. And it's a great way to work alongside whether, you know, whatever medicinal practices you follow. So here in the Western world, I know my GP is quite quick to issue me with tablets. Classic example, I found out that I'm actually iron deficient, which ended up sort of, so instead of the doctor actually telling me, oh, you can up your silver beets, etc., they pretty much prescribe me with a, here, have an iron drop. Again, that's personal preference. I'm not a health professional. I'm just a mum that grew up old school, I guess. So for the purpose of this episode, I'm going to go ahead and cover some of the key plants I grew up with that you can grow in your garden for home remedy utilization. And I still have a number of these plants actually growing in my garden as well. So growing plants in your garden that can be used for home remedies, again, is a wonderful way to incorporate natural healing into your life. So the first I want to talk about is the aloe vera, known for its soothing properties. Aloe vera can be used to treat sunburns, minor cuts and skin irritations. Now, my 12-year-old daughter is even growing her own in her room, and she has said that she wants to grow the babies on that do come up and give them as Christmas presents to her school friends. That just shows you how easy it is to grow and obviously to use. Now, I found this really fascinating statistic. So the global aloe vera market size was valued at $734.2 million in 2022 and will reach $957.42 million in 2028. with a CAGR of 4.52% during 2022 to 2028. I mean, it's just going to keep growing in revenue expectations, especially as more research is done with regards to the healing properties of aloe vera. I truly believe we have only just touched the tip of what this amazing herb can do for the population. And it just shows you how exciting natural remedies can be, especially utilizing this type of herb. Now, the next herb I want to talk to you about is not an actual surprise, and of course that is going to be the lavender. This fragrant herb is not only beautiful in the garden, but it also has calming properties that you can help, or you can utilize to help with anxiety and insomnia. Now, in most cases, lavender is actually used in its essential oil form, and it is in this form that it can treat skin conditions. It helps up speeding up wound recovery. It's a favorite when it comes to stress relief. It also has a number of respiratory benefits. It can aid with the effects of PMS. It has some digestive aid properties. It can help lower blood pressure. It can protect the heart health, but it can also help with creating your own air fresheners or laundry fragrances, soaps, body butter, sleep aids for babies. I mean, the list just goes on. And as you can tell, I'm quite excited about lavenders in general. The next herb I want to raise something is, I grew up with this actually, and that is peppermint. So peppermint is great for digestive issues like indigestion and nausea, and can also be used to alleviate headaches. How often can you remember your nana saying, have a peppermint tea, especially if you've got a sore tummy? I know it was my mum's favourite go-to, but peppermint is obviously also used if you have colds and flus and peppermint candy canes around Christmas time. Can't forget the sweets. Again, another one of those versatile herbs that you can easily grow in your garden. Now, the next is chamomile. I cannot go through one of these conversations and not mention chamomile. So chamomile flowers can be dried and used to make a relaxing tea that helps with sleep and digestion. Chamomile is super easy to grow in your garden. Not only is it fabulous for humans as in chamomile tea, I mean, yum, not everybody's flavour, but I quite like it. But an infusion of chamomile is useful as a spray on seedlings and newly transplanted crops to prevent dampening off, and also to prevent mildew in plants, particularly for courgettes and cucumbers. I know we're a little bit late in the season now for courgettes and cucumbers, but it is a good one to remember for next growing season, which will come about faster than we're all ready for. This next one isn't necessarily for everybody, but you can grow it in your garden. And if you were to buy it in a cream, it is relatively expensive, but you can make the creams easy yourself. And that is using echinacea. This plant is commonly used to boost the immune system and help fight off colds and flu. It is also fantastic for bruises and things like that. So if you do see it in the shop, don't dismiss it. It is also a beautiful plant to grow, especially as the flowers are exquisitely colourful. The next one is definitely you want to grow in pots, and don't let it loose in your garden, and that is lemon balm. Known for its uplifting scent, lemon balm can be used to reduce stress and anxiety. Heck, I used to just grow this one simply for the smell alone in the garden, which was always heavenly. Now, I have one speciality when it comes to making home remedies, and I used to call it my baby butt cream. And its key ingredient was the calendula. So calendula flowers have anti-inflammatory properties and can be used in salves and creams to soothe skin irritations. Now, the best way to harvest calendula for use is to wait for the flowers to be just right and at its prettiest. Then you rip the heads off and you dry them up. Make sure that they have yet to set seed, because obviously then it's way too late and all the goodness is out of the flower. This is roughly at the time when you've got the bees and the bugs visiting to pollinate. Once the petals are dry, then you can transfer them into a good quality olive oil, and you leave the petals to infuse all the goodness into the olive oil itself. This can take weeks or even months. It's really important to make sure that the petals are obviously dry before you put it into the olive oil, or else it will go rancid. And the olive oil is then strained of all the petals, and it is the olive oil then that you will use to make the calendula creams. Full disclosure, it also makes a fabulous massage oil. Okay, this next one isn't that fancy and you can buy it from the supermarket and you probably use it in your food mostly on a daily basis, and that is garlic. Garlic is not only a staple in the kitchen, but it also has antibacterial and antiviral properties that can help with colds and infections. Get creative with the garlic and slide it into whatever meal you can. A little goes a long way. It's quite a strong flavour. Now, this next herb I want to talk about has a lot of different uses, and that is rosemary. This fragrant herb has antioxidant properties and can be used in hair rinses and skin toners for its astringent effects. Now, don't dismiss rosemary in a hurry, because it also has fantastic properties around memory, and it is a fantastic study aid. I used this a lot when I was doing my exams for university, and as you may know, university can be brutal, especially as I was working full-time and studying full-time. I would use whatever I could to get it through the week and my exams and my assignments. Rosemary was always my go-to. I used to always chuck some eucalyptus on a napkin as well. So when I was starting to doze off in an exam, I would just give it a whiff and that would certainly wake me up. That or rosemary. It just depended on really how I was feeling and what time of year it was. Eucalyptus was always quite good in winter because I tended to have quite a few sinuses. Most of the time it was in the form of essential oils. Just make sure you spend the money and get some decent ones, not the cheap knockoffs. Then there is the final herb I want to have a chat about, and that is sage. So sage has antimicrobial properties and can be used to make soothing gargles for sore throats. Now, sage has been around for a millennia, and it was thought to have been recorded at 1500 BC, and it was actually noted in Egyptian literature as a remedy for stomach ailments, toothaches, and asthma. But it was also for centuries used by indigenous tribes of the Americas who used white sage in spiritual cemeteries to cleanse, purify, and pray. You can make them at home, and I'm going to now go through what is the best way to make homemade sage purification sticks, and I'll also have a conversation about how to actually use them in your home to get the most out of the cleansing. Again, if you're not into the woo-woo, you never know, this might still appeal. So making homemade sage purification sticks, also known as smudge sticks, is a wonderful way to cleanse your space and invite positive energy into your home. To create your own sage purification sticks, you'll need a bundle of dried sage leaves, cotton string, and scissors. So start by gathering a small handful of sage leaves and tying them together at the base with the cotton string. Then tightly wrap the string around the sage leaves, working your way up to the tip of the leaves. Make sure the bundle is secure and compact. Trim any excess string with the scissors. Once your sage purification stick is ready, you can light the tip of the bundle until it catches fire. Then gently blow out the flame and allow the sage to smolder and release its cleansing smoke. Walk around your space waving the stick to cleanse the area and promote positive energy. Be sure to use a heatproof container to catch any falling embers. So basically, it is a way of adding these purification benefits to your homemade, right? Now, how do you use the sage purification sticks, and what is a home cleansing ritual that anyone can use? Like I said previously, sage purification sticks, also known as smudge sticks, are commonly used in various cultures for cleansing and purifying spaces. To use a sage purification stick, you can follow some simple steps. One is to light the end of the sage stick with a match or lighter until it catches fire, then gently blow out the flame. No spitting, no heaving, no nothing, just gently blow out the flame, allowing the stick to smolder and start releasing the smoke. The smell isn't for everybody, so try it first before you waft it around your house. But anyway, hold the stick at a slight downward angle, allowing the smoke to billow up. Start at the front door of your home and move clockwise around each room, gently waving the stick to spread the smoke. As you move through each room, focus on areas where negative energy may linger, such as corners, windows, and doorways. You can also set intentions for cleansing and positively as you perform the ritual. Once you've smudged every room, return to the starting point and extinguish the sage stick in a fireproof container. So Again, I'm just going to quickly run through that because I did say that quite quickly. So for a simple home cleansing ritual that anyone can use, you can combine the sage purification stick with the following steps, right? Again, open all the windows in your home to allow for any negative energy to escape. Light the sage purification stick as described and begin smudging your home, focusing on areas that feel heavy or stagnant. So while smudging, visualize the smoke lifting away any negative energy and replacing it with positive, uplifting energy. After smudging, you can also place bowls of salt in each room to absorb any residual negative energy. Discard the salt outside after a few hours, of course. Finally, close the windows and set an intention for your home to be filled with peace, harmony, and positivity. By incorporating sage purification sticks and simple cleansing rituals into your routines, you can actually create a harmonious and energetically balanced life, living space for yourself and your loved ones. You know what? Sometimes you just really need to do something to elevate your home, and a simple smudge cleansing event can actually be quite rewarding. Something I've been asked about in the past, and that is, can you add dried lavender to your home smudge purification stick? And there are, you know, and if there are any negative reasons why you wouldn't add the lavender. So adding dried lemon to your homemade sage purification stick can actually be a really good idea. Lavender is known for its calming and soothing properties, making it a great addition to the purification ritual. The combination of sage and lavender can create a much nicer scent than that basically enhances the overall experience. Again, sage isn't necessarily for everybody. However, there are a few things to consider before adding lavender to your sage sticks. Some people may be allergic to lavender, so it's important to be mindful of any potential sensitivities. Additionally, if you're using the purification stick for a specific spiritual or cultural ritual, make sure that adding lavender aligns with the traditions you are following. In some belief systems, certain herbs are used for specific purposes, so it's essential to respect, honor those traditions. Overall, adding dried lavender to your sage purification stick can actually have and be quite a lovely touch, but it's essential to consider any potential allergies or cultural implications before doing so. So again, enjoy creating your personalized purification stick, and may it bring you peace and positivity in your space. Okay, I know this episode was a little bit different, but I figured, why not? Especially because I've been asked in the past questions around home cleansing, I thought it was a nice opportunity to sneak in some information about cleansing ceremonies using a herb that you can grow in your own garden. Also, you might be surprised at how many and how common a lot of these herbs I've mentioned today are already in people's gardens. They also make great container plants, so if you have got herb planters on your windowsills, give one of these herbies a try. I'm hopeful that some of the suggestions I've raised in this episode will be of assistance. If you do have any gardening questions, please do reach out. I'm going to again keep compiling a list, and every now and again I'll do an episode on a bunch of combined questions. Every week I mention this, and don't be shy. Let me know if you're needing some private coaching. No matter what level, from beginner to experienced, reach out and let's have a chat. I have a few one-on-one gardening mentoring spots available. Sometimes it's really easier to accomplish a task or a project having a gardening mentor and quietly holding you accountable to whatever tasks you set. Flick me a DM or email me and let's check to see how we can work together. My contact details are always in the show notes. Don't forget to email or DM me for any one of my gardening freebies. As always, I say gardening can happen in any space and in any place and on any budget. Have an incredibly abundant week, and I'll buzz you later. Bye. Thanks for listening to today's episode. I would love to hear about your gardening adventures. Flick me a DM on Instagram at TheMessedUpGardener or send me an email and let's connect. Don't forget to check out my gardening reels on TikTok. If you are looking for some help planning your next garden project or just need some one-on-one private coaching, reach out and let's get growing. If you have a garden-related business or you're looking at starting a gardening business, including arboriculture, land clearing, firewood, or a general plant growing and selling business, let's work together in my one-on-one private business development coaching container. Having helped my clients grow several six-figure plus businesses, including from startup to working on million-dollar open space management contracts for many years now. Let me help you and let's grow your business so you can leapfrog your profits and establish a viable and sustainable business. If you're looking for a business podcast, check out the Let's Biz You Up podcast, available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If this episode was at all helpful, please share with others and let's get growing in any space, in any place, and on any budget. Till next time, happy gardening and buzz you later.